We did start our study on a survey of the Old Testament on Wednesday night, and we'll continue this week with Exodus. Believe it or not, we finished Genesis last week, and so if you want to come on Wednesday night, that'd be a good study. But tonight, we're going to continue in the book of Proverbs. So if you would, turn with me in your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 24. Proverbs chapter 24, and we left off with verse 5. A wise man is strong, yea, a man of knowledge increases strength. Now here you have another benefit of wisdom, the kind of wisdom that comes from above. And the benefit is moral and spiritual strength. To know what's right and then to practice it is in effect moral strength of character. That's the essence. When you know what's right and you do what's right, then you're going to have moral character. You're going to have strength of character. And it is this moral strength and wisdom, and you find this all the way through. There's a thread all the way through the Bible of folks that God raised up at different times. He gave wisdom, he made them strong, and they were able to do great things for God. I mean, one of the most famous ones. Think of the moral strength and wisdom that God put in the heart and the mind of Moses that enabled him to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt and to cross the Red Sea. I've always marveled that he had the strength of character to stand up against the single most powerful ruler of his day. Pharaoh was the one that was in charge of everything. The Egyptian kingdom was powerful, and Moses stood toe-to-toe with him and never backed down. He represented God, the power of God, the glory of God. He never apologized. He never backed up from the challenges that were at hand. Every time he told Pharaoh what God was going to do, and Pharaoh had to come to Moses and say, Pharaoh would continually say, you know, would you go to the Lord and stop this plague? It's destroying my country. He had wisdom from above. He had moral strength of character that enabled him to stand against evil and ungodliness. And with also that strength of character in a time of crisis that enabled him to rely on the Lord. I mean, I often talk about how this came about with Pharaoh's men coming, charging hard against Moses and the children of Israel. If you can envision this vast group of folks who have just finally gotten out of captivity. They're raggedy. They're hungry. They've seen some victories at the hand of God, but here they are at the Red Sea. They don't know where to turn. They don't know what to do. They hear those chariot wheels rumbling. They know that Pharaoh is chasing them down. No doubt fear filled their hearts. And Moses had the moral strength to take that rod and say, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And all of a sudden, the Red Sea split wide open. And they began to cross. Of course, Moses crossed with them. They got to the other side. They saw their enemies drowning in the Red Sea. God had wrought a great victory, and He used a man. A man that had been prepared for 40 years in Egypt and in the wilderness. A Sinai. And now it was his time. You and I need to develop moral strength. We need wisdom from on high for everyday challenges that we are going to face. Who knows if God is going to call upon one of us to speak truth to power and to stand against evil in our day, in our age. A wise man is strong. Yea, a man of knowledge increases strength. Another story that I just love in the Bible is when David was able to defeat Goliath. Here was a young man. Don't ever discount youth and their zeal and their desire to follow God and do what's right. And here was David while everyone else was cowering before the Philistines. And when Goliath would come out, they would all flee. Here was David with moral strength of character who said, "Is there not a cause? Don't we represent Jehovah, the covenant-keeping God who is all-powerful? Isn't there a cause here that's worth fighting for, dying for if need be?" You see, it was spiritual wisdom and strength that filled the heart of young David with holy courage when he faced down Goliath. And I like the fact that he had so much confidence in God. Here's what he said to Goliath before he ever killed him. He said, "But I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied." He called him out for his rebellion against the Almighty. "This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee, and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the host of the out of the Philistines this under the fowls of the air this day, and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel." 1 Samuel chapter 17. Verses 45 and 46. Before he ever slung that rock, he knew he was going to defeat the giant by the power of God. He had wisdom. He had moral strength. He was able to face down his enemies. I'm going to tell you something, folks. If you are not seeking the wisdom that is from above, if you are not increasing in spiritual strength, knowledge, and wisdom, you will not have the courage to face the challenges that are going to come at you, and they will. If you're going to have spiritual strength and stamina and grace and power to stand when you need to, you've got to have wisdom. You've got to have it from God. How about the strength from the Lord that enabled those three Hebrew boys to boldly stand against the Babylonian blasphemy of Nebuchadnezzar? And they experienced a miraculous deliverance from the fiery furnace. They wouldn't bow down. Even though they were threatened, even though they said, "Listen, don't you guys know? We're going to put you in a fiery furnace." And they didn't say, "I've got to consult my attorneys about this." They said, No, we're not careful to answer thee in this matter. We're not going to bow. We're going to trust our God, who is able to deliver us. And miraculously, God did deliver them. The first New Testament Baptist church was filled with the Spirit and was strengthened to carry out the Great Commission in spite of persecution, in spite of threats of imprisonment and even death. By the time you get to Acts chapter 12, you've got Stephen, who had already been stoned. Then you have James' head cut off, Peter in prison, and yet they would not stop. They kept on preaching the truth. They were filled with God's wisdom. They had spiritual strength of character. We need people like that today, who won't just go along with the crowd, who won't follow the multitude to do evil, but will stand in the evil day. The moral courage to say, you know what? I love the Lord. I'm going to follow Him. I don't agree with abortion. I don't agree with homosexual marriage. I want to stand for what's right. I love God. I love His Word. I want to spread the gospel. You know what? In Acts chapter 5, they had been threatened, imprisoned, and they were warned. They were charged with filling Jerusalem with their doctrine. I'll tell you, Jerusalem at that time, I'd say, was a pretty bustling city for that day and time. And they went everywhere preaching the gospel. Their spiritual strength was tested. Their reply and their fearless activity ought to be an encouragement to all of us. When faced with the test, they said we ought to obey God rather than men. In verse 41, and they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for His name. And daily in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. Oh, that God would fill us with knowledge, with wisdom, with spiritual strength in these perilous times. I'm looking out. We've got a lot of young people here tonight. We got babies. We got little kids. We've got college students, high school students, middle school are approaching that. You're going to face some tests. You've got things ahead of you that I probably would never dream of facing. You need God's wisdom. You need to make your mark for truth, for righteousness. You need to take your stand for the Lord Jesus Christ and be unashamed. Leave a legacy. Daniel 11:32 said, but the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. As we put on the whole armor of God every day, we ought to remember the wisdom of Ephesians 6:10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. My prayer for you is Paul's prayer that he gave for the churches of Colossae. He said, for this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord, unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to His glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. Do you want to be a wise man? Do you want to have strength? Do you want that to increase and grow as you grow in the Lord? You've got to keep after it. You've got to keep exercising yourself rather unto godliness. You've got to face each day as a test, as a challenge. And say, Lord, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. He is ready, willing, and able to give you the wisdom you need to face tomorrow. Ask Him for it. Verse 6. Proverbs 24 and verse 6. For by wise counsel thou shalt make thy war, and in multitude of counselors there is safety. He wrote this thousands of years ago. He knew something that is true in our day. It's been true in every age. Human depravity is such that wars are inevitable among the sons of men. Pride, avarice, greed, lust for power, desire to have dominion over others have characterized the nations of the world for 6,000 years. There have always been conflicts over land, religion, liberty, and personal rights. You know what? Wars are going to continue. In fact, I believe that they're going to increase more and more until the Prince of Peace, the Lord Jesus Christ, comes again to the earth to rule and reign for 1,000 years. It's naive to think that in our day and age of nuclear warheads and everything, as a superpower, that we can say, you know what, we've had it with all of this. We're just going to quit having any nuclear weapons. We're going to destroy all ours in the Nevada desert. We invite the Soviet Union, everybody, come on, we'll show you, we're going to destroy them. And because of our leadership, we expect everybody else to destroy them too. That's naive. That's something you hear in a classroom. War is going to continue. There is going to... Iran, do you think for a minute that they're not scheming right now to develop a nuclear warhead and that they're going to aim it at Israel and burn them off the map? They said they would. Everything they've ever said they were going to do, they've done. Wars are inevitable because of man's wickedness and unholiness and impurity. Since wars are an inevitable part of the human experience, you know what? We need God's wisdom to lessen their brutality and their frequency. He says, for by wise counsel thou shalt make thy war. He's in essence saying, I know you're going to go to war. It's inevitable. You're going to have conflicts as a nation with other nations. But seek wisdom. Do it with wisdom. Wisdom is more important than sheer might. A team of wise counselors are invaluable in warfare. Well-laid plans, precise timing, good intelligence, and the right use of weaponry can be a great advantage in warfare. and God. I believe beyond a shadow of a doubt that God had his hand on the American Revolution. When we revolted, the colonies revolted against the tyranny of British rule at that time. I believe God gave, you think about the ragtag bunch of people that went up against the strongest empire of the world of that day. The strongest navy, the strongest army, it was the British Empire. And we did not fight using merely conventional means. They had enough sense to use spies to gain intelligence. And God enabled the colonies to conquer the British Empire and give freedom. And then he gave them grace and the wisdom that they stood in need of. They brought in a lot of counselors from among the colonies, and they forged ahead with a constitution that has now lasted, the only democratic republic that's constitutionally based that has lasted for nearly 250 years. That's amazing. The Constitution was ratified in 1787. How amazing is it that it's still in force today? Wisdom in the founding of the United States of America. Now this verse has a definite spiritual application as well. Every one of us here has a spiritual battle with the flesh, the world, and the devil on a daily basis. We benefit from the wisdom of God through a multitude of counselors and promises that are found in the Word of God. There's safety in a multitude of counselors. There's wisdom. This book is full of counsel. Go to it. Memorize parts of it. You have a problem with a certain thing. Maybe you're worrying or you're troubled about something. Go to the Word of God. Find a verse, jot it down, memorize it, think on it, and conquer your fear. It's right here in the Bible. It'll help you, I guarantee it. It enables me, and it has done this for me 35 years, going on my 36th year. And I'm not dead yet. God gives me grace, wisdom, strength, multitude of counselors right here. You know what? We also draw strength from spending time with a wonderful counselor in communion and prayer. To be able to talk to God, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. When you're caught between a rock and a hard place and you don't know what you should do, go to God. Ask Him to direct you. Ask Him to help you through His Word. Ask Him when the circumstances are swirling around. Ask Him for wisdom. And I believe He'll give it. Because there's a promise there in James. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Jesus said, when you pray, knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Plead with the Lord. Ask the great counselor what you ought to do. You know, we also, when we fellowship and worship with the saints of God, we gain spiritual strength and courage to face the enemies that are at hand. Learn to value this body, this congregation of like-minded people that love you, that care about your life personally, that care about your kids, your grandkids, your relatives, your friends. Draw strength from one another. No matter what circumstances, we're assured of final victory according to the promise of Romans 8:37. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. You know, 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4 and 5 talks about overcoming the world. Faith is the victory that overcomes the world. It is inevitable. You're going to face conflict. You're going to have physical wars, nation against nation. It's inevitable. It's going to be that way until Jesus comes. There has never been a time in Earth's history where there has been complete and absolute peace. Never. Since the fall of man. And there won't be until the millennium, when Christ comes again and reigns for 1,000 years. Until then, you can expect to read and hear about conflict. And on a more micro scale, you're going to have conflicts in your life. You better know how to face them. You need the wisdom from God. You need the safety in counselors. Learn to use what's at your disposal. There's a whole lot of people here that love you. If you need prayer, make it known. We'll pray for you. Listen, everybody, we're rooting for one another. We're cheering each other on. I want to see everybody in this church walking with God, being successful, abounding in the work of the Lord, having joy, delighting in Him, walking and being happy. I'm rooting you on. And I believe we can have that. One more verse. Verse 7. Wisdom is too high for a fool. He openeth not his mouth in the gate. The fool is so far down in the depths of the miry pit of his own making, he can't see the glories of godly wisdom, nor does he desire it. The fool is not willing to put in the time or the effort to obtain wisdom. He's way down here. Wisdom's way up there. He's too lazy to go after it. You read Proverbs chapter 2. And it talks about crying after wisdom, seeking after wisdom like it's a hid treasure, like it's gold, like it's silver. I mean, it's hard. It takes an earnest, diligent effort. He says, wisdom's too high for a fool because he's too lazy to go after it. Don't be like the fool. Man, apply diligence in your study of the Word, in your longing for wisdom. The fool is often groveling in his self-conceit and his deluded opinions of himself. Look back at Proverbs chapter 12, verse 15. I know that you know people who are dead wrong, that they think that they're absolutely right. Verse 15, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes. But he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. Look at chapter 14, verse 16. A wise man feareth and departeth from evil, but the fool rageth and is confident. Well, I'll tell you what, when you're confident in sin, you're preparing for a fall. The fool is disrespectful of his parents' instruction and is often found as among the basest in society. You know, it is the height of folly to disregard good, godly instruction. Teach your kids that. Teach them that the Bible is the final authority in your home. Proverbs 15:15 says, that's not it. 15:5. A fool despiseth his father's instruction, but he that regardeth reproof is prudent. Chapter 17 and verse 21. He that begetteth a fool doeth it to his own sorrow, and the father of a fool hath no joy. Chapter 20 and verse 3. It is an honor for a man to cease from strife, but every fool will be meddling. You know, a fool has little time for God, for His Word, or His ways. And as such, wisdom is too high for a fool. He has not the will, the heart, or the mind to obtain it. I hope that that can't be said of you. You know, in ancient times, the exaltation of fools to positions of authority where you may be faced with really important decisions, it was rare. The voice of a fool was disregarded and disparaged. When the fool would utter all that was in his heart, his folly was exposed. Even depraved mankind understands the need of their leaders to have wisdom from above. Woe be unto the nation whose parents raise undisciplined and disrespectful, entitled children. We're reaping the unholy results of that today. Because what happens is those children often grow into adulthood as fools who infiltrate society with perversity and wickedness and ungodliness. And I fear our beloved America is overrun with fools who would seek to destroy our founding principles, our biblical values. We need God to raise up a generation that values the principles of wisdom, godliness, a good work ethic, thrift, wisdom, prudence, virtue. You don't hear those words being thrown around in our world today. That's why we're going down. That's why we're sliding. It's because we're casting off God. I know it's been a slow process, but it's really accelerating now. And have you ever thought maybe that's why it seems like our hurricanes are worse? Why the extraordinary events and weather? I don't think for a minute that that's from global warming. I think it's the judgment of Almighty God. Amen. He's angry at the wicked. Every day. He'll turn nations into hell if they act a fool. And what makes our sins so grievous as a country? Today was, I think it was the anniversary of Roe v. Wade, 1973, when the Supreme Court decided that we could begin to eliminate, exterminate, and kill babies legally. There's been 61 million since then. You think God's going to bless a nation that is that foolish, that listens to leaders that are that foolish? When we have scientific technology, yet at 12 weeks on an ultrasound, you've got a baby in there that can feel. tell you what, I'm surprised that we don't have more judgment of God. Young people, you better do something. I mean, you better get in the Word. You better live right, do right, teach your children right. My grandchildren, I pray that God will do something in their heart and give them the moral courage, fortitude, and strength to stand for what's right. We need that. We need wisdom. We need moral strength. All that God would help us as a nation not to be a nation of fools who reject His Word and His ways. Let's all stand.
Page number 10.